The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Al DiLeonardo. He's the CEO and president, and Abe Usher, CTO at the Human Geo Group. And for more information, just like it sounds, thehumangeo.com. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Great. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Well, we got an Al and an Abe in the studio, so I'm going to have to be very careful about pronouncing their names. Tell us about your background, Al, and how'd you start off with this company, and you two next, please, Abe.
Yeah, thanks, John. We're certainly glad to be here today. I'm a retired Army officer. I retired in 2011, an intelligence officer who spent a lot of time in and around the Beltway and working for Special Operations Command as well as NSA. Just glad to have served all those years and contributed in that manner. But I always had an entrepreneurial bent. But it wasn't really manifested until sooner or later I ran into Abe Usher. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Abe, your background, please.
Sure thing. Well, good morning. So I previously was a NSA cryptologist. I left there to work on geolocation technologies at Google. And then I had a chance encounter with Al that changed the course of my professional career. You asked about Human Geo. The name is short for Human Geography, and we're a data analytics and software company that specializes in advanced analytics and machine learning applied to geospatial data for the Department of Defense, law enforcement, and U.S. government.
Now, if I was sitting in the metro and I talked to a govy and I said, I know a guy who worked for the government and he went over to Google and recruited people from Google and took people from Google and dragged them into the government, I don't know if anyone would believe that. But, Al, I think you got a story to tell here, don't you?
Well, yeah, it is. Well, we like to think it's a good story. Yes. I had just left NSA as a govy and was working in Special Operations Command. And at the time, I actually worked for General McChrystal and General Flynn, and they came back into D.C. at one point. We talked, and they said, you're going to take over this organization. It's an innovation arm that we want to start this thing called Data Analytics in Special Operations Command, and we want to make it work. It's been around for a little bit but hasn't been working the way we want it to. And so I said, well, okay, what kind of power authorities do I have? Can I make – they said, General McChrystal said, you can do – what you need to do, and you'll do the right thing. And so I sort of took that and ran. And the first thing I did is I checked out the organization, saw what was there and what was maybe missing. And I knew we needed some really smart data analytic people. And so Google had just been, at the time, been standing up their DC office. It was like about 2006 in that time frame. And so I went over to the Google office. I gave this rah-rah pitch, the Google execs invited me in. There's like 30 people in the room. I gave them a big pitch about how we needed people to help transform elements of Special Operations Command and bring them more into the modern era, do data analytics, and find needles in a haystack, with data. And they loved it. They thought it was great. They all wanted to come. And then I said, well, look, you guys can't all come as Google. I don't think even Google would allow that. Yeah. So I said, how about you just come with me and I'll make it work for you guys. And all the hands went down. Sad faces, right?
Except one lonely soul.
Actually, I was the only one that fell for it that day.
And you followed him in the parking lot and grabbed him by the shoulder and said, hey, buddy, what happened, Abe?
Yeah, I was pretty interested. Al made a pretty compelling case that the government needed some help to understand geospatial data and data analytics better. So 2006, that was when we first connected.
So what happened was you formed the company in...
John, one thing to add. Ironically, it turns out we both had worked at NSA, right? But we never knew each other. So I actually feel like, I stole Abe from Google for Special Operations Command. But it was earlier, I guess, in hindsight, we found out that it was Google who stole Abe from NSA when they didn't work with NSA. But I'm saying he was featured in Wired magazine and they one time on a technique. And they said, "Oh, we got to find this guy Abe Usher," and wow. that's how Google found Abe.
Well, that's great, great. So then, what happened was, you both have a background as NSA cryptologists, and then in 2011 you started the company. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I now have two beautiful daughters, Olivia and Emma, and a great wife, Melissa. And you know, after being married for about 10 years of my 20-year military career, didn't have any children at the time, and decided, you know, 20 years, you know, supporting Special Operations Command was enough, and decided that let's focus on having a family, and very much so that worked out. And at the same time, started a company that really didn't change the trajectory of the things that we're doing. Well, we were you know, attempting to be innovators inside the government, and then starting Human Geo in 2011, focused on the things that we thought we were missing inside the government around open source information, which is what we call in the community, readily available information off the internet that's free to everyone to gather and use productively. And we felt that that kind of information wasn't being used in the government, and that we wanted to start a company to do both private functions for commercial banks and insurance companies, as well as, you know, stay true to some of our roots in the defense community.
So, Abe, from a perspective of innovation, what you did is you guys looked at big data and some geospatial visualization and maybe some social media analytics and put together some interesting solutions. But let's just talk about the concept of innovation itself. Innovation inside the federal government, outside the federation, positives, negatives, was easier one side or the other? What's best practices for even achieving that innovation?
Well, challenges on both sides for sure. And I have a model. It's non-technical, but it's really served us well in the past for explaining how to successfully innovate in the 21st century. So many people aren't software engineers, but they are familiar with kitchens. And the product of good things come out of a kitchen, they really relate to four key factors: chefs, the ingredients the chefs are working with, the utensils they have, and their recipes. And the analog, the data analytics and software, of course, chefs are data analysts and data scientists. Ingredients are the data you have to work with. Utensils are the software tools and applications at your disposal. And then recipes are the methodology that you use to get things done. So Al and I had a lot of experience working together from 2006 to about 2009 in support of special operations, where we saw these four key factors, if you align them the right way, you can get order of magnitude improvements from your technology investments. So Human Geo is really about taking some of the lessons we had previously learned when we were on the inside and then trying to connect government technology with things that were emerging and exploding in Silicon Valley. So in the past several years, there's been a big movement towards open source software, things like a software stack called Hadoop and Spark that enable modern data analytics and machine learning. So we wanted to bring some of these technologies to the government along with the domain expertise that we had to customize them to solve government problems.
So Al, you and Abe got together and tried to start. What were the biggest challenges in starting a company? What was the hardest part back in 2011?
Well, looking back, we can paint it over and make it sound great, but it definitely was not something that was easy. I get a lot of pats on the back today, but the first 2 years, I mean, we could have easily have gone out of business before we were successful. And the challenges come to a startup in D.C., just like I think many startups everywhere. You have a lot of challenges around just setting the vision and focus of what you're going to do to gaining trust in the community and building clients. And I think one of the biggest challenges we had early on was we were so excited about data analytics and the possibilities around that we wanted to do too much. Now, I ended up literally, and I think Abe too, we always said over a 2 year period, we probably held 1,500 meetings with different people in the community. We went out and dinners every night and sought advice. And we got a lot of great advice that, you know what we did? we ignored a lot of it.
That's part of analysis, isn't it? No one's to avoid.
Well, yeah, but sometimes to our detriment, right? You know, you have to have the right amount of partners. You have to have the right focus and right vision, because if you're not all in a partnership swimming down the same lanes together or in a relay, you're not going to get there. So, what we eventually did is, after we realized that we had some competing visions, we got control of those quickly, and we did some good things. Abe and I focused back on our roots, and the guys that wanted to do more commercial, we spun out a great company called Signifier to go do commercial work.
Let's take a little break, come back, talk more about innovation in the federal government, and a little more about the founding of your company and how you helped the federal government achieve some of its goals. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Al DiLeonardo, CEO, and Abe Usher, CTO at the Human Geo Group. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Al DiLeonardo, CEO, and Abe Usher, CTO, at the Human Geo Group. This is a company that's had rapid growth in the last 4 or 5 years and expanded all kinds of people. And typically when companies grow, there's all kinds of financial considerations and specific office locations. But I think in this town, really, really hard to find good talent. I mean, it's almost impossible to find talent. And I know that from the students in my classroom, and it's hard to find talent. So tell us a story about just the fact of your rapid growth. How did you even find the talent to help you grow, Abe?
Sure thing. Well, we have...
Before you say that, though, Abe, I think we could say, John, that you can find great talent in this town. It's not easy to find because there's so many competitors for talent, but there are a lot of great software developers in this town, from all the way from D.C. with the startup culture that's been going on, all out to Arlington, which we think is one of the great hubs of this city, and then out to the quarter. So I just want to correct that misperception. I know Abe's got a good story, but I think what we see is like Silicon Valley starting to recruit from D.C.
That's a good story.
Well, we've looked to pop culture for some of our inspiration in creative ways for identifying talented engineers and analysts. One of my favorite secular philosophers is a guy named Tracy Morrow. Some of you may know him by his stage name, Ice-T. He was a famous hip-hop artist in the 80s and 90s. He was interviewed on NPR when there was a lot of fake rappers hitting the music scene, and asked, Ice-T, how can you tell the difference between a legitimate hip-hop artist and someone that just gets on stage and rhymes? And he had a really profound answer, which was, game knows game, baby. And by that, he meant if you have a deep domain-specific subject matter expertise in a thing, you're capable of recognizing that very same knowledge in others. So we did tons of in-person interviews all over Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax, McLean, Bethesda, all up and down the D.C. area, to find talented people like Danny Holloway, who's our VP of engineering, that have game. And it's really tricky in the software space to try to recruit. You can't just look at someone's resume. You actually have to get out and meet people and understand their capabilities, not just in coding, but the interpersonal skills they have. And your startup, finding the right people, is really critical.
So, Al, does it come to problem-solving skills? Is it diligence? What kind of skills do you look for typically?
Well, you know, I think I've read 1,000 things to do in an interview. We take our interviews and looking at people pretty straightforward, though. We just bring people in and we just try and get to the bottom of, are they motivated to do good things for the community? And we specifically talk about doing things for the community of interest that we are here working for in D.C. You know, one of the only real criteria I have when it boils down to it is, if we see a developer from a decent university on a resume who has a Eagle Scout, not degree, but has been an Eagle Scout, they're almost an automatic hire. We've been very lucky. I think Human Geo probably has 10% of its software developers are Eagle Scouts, and they help lead the way.
That's great. Well, let's talk about some numbers. Rapid growth. What kind of growth and number of employees have you achieved here, Abe, in the last few years? I know it's up and up and up. Where are you now? Where'd you start and where are you now?
Sure. Humagia started with about 5 people the summer of 2011, and recently we just hit 125. So I'm not exactly sure what the percentages are, but it's been a breakneck speed in expanding.
It's a gazillion percentage. That's the 5 to 125. Wow, that's just incredible. I mean, how do you remember all those names of the people and juggle that and organize it? And I've been involved in the startups. It's very frustrating. And sometimes you forget about, you don't keep your eyes on the prize. I mean, you're here to serve, in your case, the federal government. And it's hard to focus on that when you get so many new people in and getting them all in the same cultures. Cultural challenges, aren't there, Al?
Certainly is. I always like to say, even looking back the last 12 months, Humagia is 3 standard deviations better than the norm for retaining personnel. So our retention rate is super, super high. Our loss rate, therefore, super, super low, right? So I'm not sure we know what the secret sauce is, but we certainly attempt to show concern and growth and even empathy for everybody that we bring on, and show that, you know, we want them to grow and do great work and contribute to the mission. And I think, you know, there's no magic solution there. I think if you're genuine or reasonably genuine in that process, people perceive that, you know, people believe and want to stay in. So it's gotten harder to know everybody because Abe and I spend way too much time now behind the desk and the paperwork. I think that's something that every entrepreneur doesn't enjoy, but it's something that you have to do to sustain the organization.
And if you go to your Twitter feed, and it's at Humagia, it's on one hand is kind of light because it's cartoon characters. On the other hand, you talk about serious things. It's like, it's pretty light and silly with, and then you really get into heavy details about Python and Django. I mean, this is the mix. This is the hardest mix, I think. The yin yang is like, okay, hey, we're silly, we had cartoon characters, but you better produce the work, buddy.
Well, and you know, Humagia, the human element of things is really paramount. Going back to the kitchen analogy of chefs, ingredients, utensils, and recipes, the number one factor, really the most dynamic element of software engineering and machine learning, is the people that you find and the dynamics in the way they interact. So Al and I put a lot of time into trying to have a positive culture at Humagia and within the Radiant Group, and we think we found a good balance.
Yeah, I would just dovetail in finally with a comment on this. I mean, we've been very lucky in the very beginning where, we've managed to get great people the entire time. But, you know, the folks that helped build the company in the first 2 and 3 years, the first 20, 20, 30 folks have really taken the mantle of leadership and help us grow this and really are the pillars of the company today.
Let's talk more about what exactly you do. Geospatial, that's a big fancy word. So Abe, if you're sitting on your deck having an iced tea, talking to neighbors, and they say, what's this geospatial stuff all about? What exactly is it, and how does it impact my listeners?
Sure. Well, I think everyone can relate to the growth of smartphones. And, you know, people carry around these supercomputers in their pockets these days. Geospatial data really defines information relevance for people in the 21st century. So when you have a computer with you that knows where you are, you can get information pushed to you that's very specific to your location. Like if you're looking for a restaurant, reviews on Yelp use your location to give you places near you. Google Maps helps you route from one place to another. So, a simple way to think about what Humagia does is we work with the Department of Defense, law enforcement, other government activities to give them capabilities similar to Google Maps but tailored to their mission of their agency or their department.
You know, 1 week ago I was in the Santa Monica Mountains doing some hiking, and I was with my brother-in-law there, and he showed me the burn areas. And he said, look at this tree here. This tree is 200 years old. About every 4 years there's a burn that goes through here. The tree survives it all. And I said, every 3 or 4 years, there's a burn there. I mean, this is almost an application for geospatial knowledge. I mean, it'd be good to know exactly where they are in those canyons and arroyos. All. What a terrible place to fight a fire. I mean, but they expect it. They say, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. So maybe that's an application for geospatial knowledge. Huh?
Absolutely. We're really just at an early stage of understanding how location can play into the way people interact with information. And there's been a lot of buzzwords, unfortunately, about big data and things that people misunderstand. But geospatial information and geospatial applications have a major opportunity to transform the lives of people in America, for sure.
Sal, you want to name some of the products you've developed or some of the impacts these products have had on the community that uses your services?
You know, I always like to talk about the fun stuff, and while we're mission focused on a number of agencies and arms of the different combatant commands in DoD, some of the fun stuff we always like to talk about, like when 2012, when we were working for the British government to help them with security, building data analytic capabilities and employing them with the London Olympics, really enjoyed that for 4 months. When we've helped out some big banks in New York City, with some of their threat detection, and all the way down to helping different agencies here that I think Abe can talk about in terms of EyeSight.
Let's take a little break, talk more about EyeSight, and talk more about the Nerd Brigade and find out what exactly the Nerd Brigade is all about. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Al DiLeonardo, CEO, and Abe Usher, CTO, at the Human Geo Group. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Al DiLeonardo, CEO, and Abe Usher, CTO, at the Human Geo Group, talking about innovation in the federal government, talk a little bit about geospatial knowledge and big data, talk about rapid growth. I mean, this company has gone from worst to first in just a few years and had some changes recently that have impacted that. But let's talk about this word that you popped up in before the break. It was called InSight or EyeSight. Talk about EyeSight. What is it all about?
Sure. EyeSight is the intelligence community information technology environment. It's a major undertaking to unify the data across 17 different intelligence agencies and organizations into a common environment to produce better outcomes for analysis, briefing the president, and keeping the country safe.
So where do you guys fit in when it comes to EyeSight?
Well, there's a number of technology providers contributing to analytics and infrastructure. Human Geo has a role in adopting open source software that we've seen it use successfully in Silicon Valley, repurposing it for the government. Things like Hadoop and Spark, which enable machine learning and large-scale data processing.
John, one of the other things we've been doing in terms of EyeSight is we've been an Amazon Web partner since 2011. We're an official partner with Amazon. And Amazon has a role in today's EyeSight community with helping DoD and the Defense Department in general manage its data. So we're part of that community at large and great partners with Amazon.
Yes, I know. I was on the phone last week with Cloudera talking about Hadoop. I know those folks, and I know the usual suspects over at AWS. It's interesting. I mean, you guys are very serious. You're both Army Rangers and serious and patriotic and want to help. And then you have the Nerd Brigade. So what's this Nerd Brigade?
Well, you know, the Nerd Brigade is, and I'll let Abe talk about it. I mean, it is a concept that we kind of came up with in part Human Geo as well as the government in support for one particular agency. And in that agency, we had recommended the Geek Squad initially. It's really the government's program, and the government decided, you know, they wanted to make sure they had clear lines of distinction between Geek Squad and something like Nerd Brigade. So we kind of helped adopt the Nerd Brigade concept, which is, Abe can talk about a little bit here.
Sure. Yeah, the Nerd Brigade is a specific instantiation of an idea called agile development. And, you know, in the old days of technology and software, we had this process called waterfall, where we'd have a 3-month planning process, then 6 months of development, then we'd show stuff to users and they'd be angry, and then we'd change what we did and take another 6 months, we'd show them, and the project would fail. And we called that the waterfall software development method. No one really liked that, the engineers or the stakeholders. Agile development is a concept where you have deep feedback, deep interaction between end users of a technology and the engineers that are building it. So the Nerd Brigade is actually agile development on steroids, where instead of just getting some additional feedback from users, you actually physically co-locate software engineers with the stakeholders they're supporting and you develop software and let them interact with it on a weekly or daily basis, as frequently as they want. The idea being you get much better results when you have an organic connection of a software engineer to a team that's trying to solve a business or intelligence problem.
Al, so you've had a rapid growth using agile software development, and all of a sudden you start running into a company called Radiant. Tell us about Radiant and what happened with you and Radiant.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's great. I think one of the secrets of success that you probably listeners are hearing is that hopefully when you combine an operator type like myself and others with a really, really smart Google technology guy, magic can happen when you're united in purpose. With Radiant Group, we saw the same thing. We were not trying to sell Human Geo. We had people kind of knock down the door a few times and talk to us, but we kind of ignored them. And until one group, Radiant Group, which really is a manifestation of a third or fourth manifestation of companies that Bob LaPenta, who turned around Loral Space years ago, then developed L1, then developed L3, which is a big player in today's market. He was one of the L's, LaPenta, Lehman Brothers, and Lanza, and then sold out of that, and then started L1, sold that, and then decided his next thing was Radiant Group. And what I like to say about Radiant Group initially is that, you know, from one of the other companies, seniors, Larry Shan, always likes to say, you know, we're united in purpose and unique in capability. So building a world-class technology company is focused on geospatial technology with cyber, aerospace, modeling and simulation, and certainly world-class analysts and operators doing data analytics at Human Geo as well.
You know, Abe, you focus on data analytics and geospatial knowledge, and just these topics alone, I mean, you could probably do a PhD in just one small subcategory of anything to do with data analytics. How do you keep up with it? Is this something you read? Is it Vulcan Mind Transplant? Or how do you keep up with all this stuff?
if we could only all be Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
Well, this is a fast-moving area. There's a number of communities, actually, that Al and I participate in, and we encourage members of Human Geo to participate in, that keep us up to date with what is emerging, what innovation is going on in this area. In particular, I think the number one organization is the U.S. Geospatial Intelligence Foundation. This is a not-for-profit consortium that government and industry participates in. You have a combination of places like MIT Lincoln Labs and Stanford University providing academic research related to geospatial, Penn State and George Mason University with continuing education programs for people to keep up to speed, and then large companies like the big integrators, Human Geo, the Radiant Group, that also share what they're doing with industry.
Yeah, so I think, John, I think the secret to some of our success is being known, liked, and trusted. Although I always say I'm not always super well liked, but you don't have to be loved, you just have to be liked. And so we were known, liked, and trusted in the community, but we weren't known outside the community. So USGIF, the American Geographical Society, and the Global Soft Foundation are three different organizations that do really great work across special operations, geography, and geospatial technologies. And those groups, Keith Monsbach in particular, who heads USGIF, and John Konarski, who heads the American Geographical Society, have been great, along with Stu Braden at the Global Soft Foundation, that have helped us up our brand, and upped our brand quickly. So while we might have done 1,500 meetings and dinners in the first couple of years, it was really these organizations that said, okay, we like what you're doing, we're going to help sell your brand, and they helped us out more than we really imagined at the time, and that's why I really want to acknowledge those three groups.
So, Abe, if we go to your website, thehumangeo.com, tell us what it has there and what information can we pull from their blogs, videos. It's an interesting site, though. It's a geographic type site, isn't it? You can see a map there or something.
Yeah, so we're really pleased with our website. Talented engineer Scott Fairgrave is the one that led the visuals that are put together there. We have a combination of technical articles, so software engineers who are interested in geospatial data analytics, I'd encourage them to check out our blog. In addition to that, there's kind of a personal touch where, we talk about things going on in the geospatial community. We also provide links to open source software that Human Geo has sponsored. We use a lot of other people's open source software and the things we build. We try to give back to the community. So you can find hooks to a number of projects Humagia has created that are free to use software.
In fact, if you type in your company name in Google, I did this morning, you see on top 10 is GitHub. I mean, the stuff there that's of value to everyone. And so a lot of the progress you're making available to other people. Other agencies can use it as well, can't they?
I think that's kind of the magic of open source is even if you're not the one that started a project, you can still contribute to it. In the 80s and 90s, a lot of software was proprietary, conducted by organizations independently. Today, software development is a team sport, and it actually spans organizational boundaries.
Let's take a little break, come back. We'll talk more about we're going to talk about the future of geospatial knowledge and transition and maybe agile software development and where you folks see Radiant fitting in the next 5 or 6 years. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Al DiLeonardo, CEO, and Abe Usher, CTO at the Human Geo Group. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Al DiLeonardo, CEO, and Abe Usher, CTO at the Human Geo Group. We've talked about recruiting. We've talked about data visualization, big data, challenges, and everything else. So, Abe, where do you see technology heading here in the next few years? Bigger hard drives, more headaches, more application of what they have? Where do you see it heading for the Govies?
Well, you know, to answer a question about the future, I've got to take us back to the past, January 16th, 1991. A guy named Frank Meeks, who, if you're not familiar with him, he was the Domino's Pizza Czar of the Washington, D.C. area. He put out a press release the evening of 16 January, got picked up by the Washington Post and Chicago Herald Tribune, stating a national security event was imminent. Fast forward one day, 17 January 1991, the U.S. military began the air campaign in Operation Desert Storm. The reason that Frank Meeks was able to anticipate something was going to happen,
I remember
he put out a press release stating pizza orders at the White House, the Pentagon, and the State Department were up tenfold from their usual levels. And so by looking at the pizza delivery index of evenings in the Washington, D.C. area, he was able to figure out national security planning. So, you know, leap from January 1991 into 2016, anticipatory intelligence and predictive analytics. This is the new area of technology the government is really looking at. For years, we've been retrospective, looking at things as a post-mortem analysis. So something happens, the government analyzes why it happened in the past. We try not to let it happen again. Today, with the vast explosion of crowdsourced information that the government doesn't control, we're talking about free-flowing information on the internet, in the press, on blogs, wikis, Twitter. All of this information is currently being used by commercial organizations to understand what might happen in the future. And I think this is going to be a growing area, the area of predictive analytics.
The pizza delivery index. We'll have to do a show on that one of these days. So, Abe, where do you see the world of geospatial analysis, big data? Where's the heading for my listeners, for the federal government in the next 5 years? It's not just going to be bigger hard drives. Where does analysis fit in with understanding all this big data, Al?
Well, I do think that the future still remains data analytics with the combination of open source gathering and information. I think I saw a headline yesterday that the director of one of the intelligence agency, big intelligence agency in town, mentioned that open source is a big deal now, right? And so, you know, we think the combination of open source and proper handling of open source information for the U.S. government and bringing it up and combining it with the things on the classified nature really is where you're going to apply lots of data analytics in the future and make the best of all available information for the right purposes for the government and enable that mission.
You know, Abe, I've done many shows on open source. I've done many shows with Microsoft, and there's strengths and weaknesses to each. From the open source perspective, what I've seen is that it seems to be open, but it may be more expensive than handling proprietary information. What do you think?
Well, yeah, for certain, we're in a cottage industry in understanding how to handle open source data and open source software. And sometimes the total cost of getting something done could be greater, you know, if you're trailblazing and you're not using technologies that have previously been used a lot. One area I think is really interesting we're going to have to keep an eye on is a subdomain of machine learning called deep learning. This is actually software where instead of explicitly writing code with a bunch of rules that handle lots of different cases, you just give a computer a bunch of examples of something, and then it learns from the examples. So this is a new paradigm in programming. There are proprietary tools for doing deep learning. There's also open source tools. Google released an application called Google TensorFlow, which is a deep learning library so that anyone, you know, with an internet connection can download this code, feed it some data, and actually teach their computer how to learn to do a task. I think this is incredibly exciting, and it's really difficult to predict the impacts of deep learning in the future.
Noel, no one could have predicted the Internet of Things. This is going to have an impact on all our listeners, isn't it?
Absolutely, John. You know, and one of the things that's not quite as sexy as Abe's talking about, you know, Internet of Things, machine learning to predict black swan events, to figure out what's going to go on next in the world. But less sexy from an analytical perspective is a thing where we think the community is going to move to. It's an old technique that the communities need to work on going forward, and that's multi-integrated teams focusing on a geospatial project or geospatial manner. When you provide an integrated team of multi-intelligence disciplines and allow them to work together on a focused problem with dedicated leadership and mission focus, that being grit as well, you can solve a lot more problems, save a lot more money for the U.S. government. Because I always say a 9-man integrated team with all those intelligence disciplines brought together, which we've learned how to do in all the wars the last 15 years, and we've learned how to do back in the Beltway. As we do more of that, you'll be able to reduce manpower and spending to get much more done when you just focus different skill sets together.
So collaboration is always difficult. I mean, I think a real good example of collaboration is I watch the stock car races. The guys come in and get all the tires changed, everything. But now, this is all people working together as a team. When you watch opera and you watch the musicians, they all operate as a team. Real easy to observe, almost impossible to do, though. I mean, what's the magic sauce? Is it military training? Because that's collaboration right there. I think it's really, really hard. Agile is so easy to talk about, so hard to use and deploy.
Well, certainly value creation in the 21st century is a team sport, and to pull it off is tricky. I've got to go back to Ice-T and game knows game. More important than the specific technologies that you pick are the people that you put together in these multidisciplinary teams that Al's talking about. People that understand a problem domain, they're motivated, and they're willing to try some things that might fail.
Fail early, fail fast. That's one of the Agile principles. So get crystal ball out here. Where are you going to be in 5 years? Where's Radiant going to be? Where do you see your company heading now?
Well, that's a great question. You know, one of the things that we're doing at Radiant Group with Human Geo is Abe and I are going to continue to run Human Geo, but we're also going to take leadership roles as COO and CTO of Radiant Group. And so Radiant Group is a significant sized leap for us. You know, we're coming from 125 person, great data analytics company, moving to a company that's probably closer to 500 people when it's all said and done, and headquartered in Chantilly and Arlington. And so we see the future being, very advanced geospatial, right? That's kind of our focus. While Radiant Group has cyber, has operators and analysts, you know, the good 70% is geospatial, aerospace work, modeling and simulation. And, you know, I always say, if you look at your smartphone today, you can't do anything without Google Maps, right? You can't do anything without your GPS half the time. You certainly can't do anything in the intelligence community, Department of Defense, without mapping capabilities, aerospace, satellites. And we sort of sit at the center of that. And we're basically going to advance the future by building data analytic capabilities on top of all that geospatial information, as well as deploying commercial capabilities with our great friends in Silicon Valley and locally here that develop products as well.
Abe, where do you see it heading?
Well,
hope you're on the same page.
Just to pile on, that's absolutely where we're headed. And we keep bringing up geospatial data because it's a great way to unify information. I think the government has a great leadership role in standards for how you handle data. But there's a lot of innovation to be done around how you connect the dots of all the different types of information across all the different departments and agencies. So we're going to be applying techniques like deep learning to help produce order of magnitude improvements in the analytic capabilities for law enforcement, Department of Defense, and intelligence community organizations.
You know, I'm staring at you guys. We were talking about geospatial for the last hour, and it suddenly dawns on me, Pokemon Go. Guess what that is?
That's right.
It's a spatial game that everyone, lots of people out there, and it's a geospatial game. How obvious can it be, John? It's like you got to beat me over the head with something as obvious as that, but this is exactly what's going on. All of a sudden, all that information you can provide from satellites is being applied to military analysis, also to having fun, and I think that's the balance you guys bring. It's the nerd brigade, but it's also very serious, important information that has to be handled in a very careful way. And we haven't even mentioned the organizations that you work with to accomplish that task. So that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, John, it's often said that geography, you know, people ask me, what is geospatial all the time? It's very simply just geography meets technology.
Interesting. Pokemon Go. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Al DiLeonardo, CEO, and Abe Usher, CTO at the Human Geo Group. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.